MPs have voted to suspend the DUP MP Ian Paisley for 30 sitting days. It follows his failure to declare two family holidays paid for by the Sri Lankan government. He will now be absent from Parliament for some key Brexit votes. He's also been suspended by the DUP pending further investigation into his conduct. So what happens next? Here's the Speaker of the House, John Bercow.
Your order. The question is the motion on standards as on the order paper. As many as have that opinion say aye.
Aye.
Of the contrary, no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Order. The House has agreed to the motion in the name of the Leader of the House to suspend the Honourable Gentleman, the Member for North Antrim, for 30 sitting days under the terms, colleagues, of Section 5 of the Recall of MPs Act 2015. I am now required to write to the relevant electoral officer informing him or her that a member has met one of the conditions which makes the member subject to a recall petition under that Act, namely that, following on from a report from the Committee on Standards in relation to the MP, the House of Commons has ordered the suspension of the member from the service of the House for a period of 10 days or more. The recall petition will be administered in accordance with the provisions of the Act by that electoral officer.
According to the House of Commons Library, it is the longest suspension since 1949, which is as far as online records go. Sam McBride, the political editor from the newsletter, with us this morning. So we go back a long time then, Sam, until we've seen a punishment like this.
That's right, Stephen. This is certainly completely new territory for people in Northern Ireland, or as you say, for most of the UK, certainly for people who even have pretty long memories in terms of what's gone on in Parliament. I think people in Northern Ireland will perhaps remember, and in some cases, Ian Paisley's father, the late Ian Paisley, being thrown out of the Commons Chamber. He was thrown out three times, I think, during the 1980s and then in 1993 by Betty Boothroyd, quite a famous altercation. And really, there could not be a bigger gulf between what happened to him, which is sort of the rough and tumble, if you like, of parliamentary politics, where the late Ian Paisley had accused a government minister of lying. It was in relation to what was going on in Northern Ireland. And really, he did that in quite a calculated way, knowing he would get thrown out, knowing that it would be quite good publicity for him at home with his voters. This is just a very significantly different punishment, and the scale of the punishment really reflects what's involved here. This is not some minor breach or even quite significant breach of parliamentary protocol. This is something which Parliament frowns upon in such a way that under this new law, they now give voters in his constituency the chance to actually remove him from his seat. So that is very, very different to what has gone before here.
The party, it's interesting because we heard all of that a couple of days ago, didn't we? The new news is that the party, the DUP, have decided to suspend them. Now, we heard at the weekend people like Sammy Wilson, and we saw Sammy Wilson sit in the House of Commons beside Ian Paisley when he was making his speech to the Commons about this. You've seen your people then coming out supporting him, and yet you have the hierarchy of the party suspending him. We heard Sammy Wilson say, Sam, that he thought that the punishment, the 30-day punishment, was enough, and yet the party have suspended him. Does that represent a split in the party, or were they always going to do this?
No, I think it's difficult to see that as anything other than a split. Sammy Wilson is pretty close to Ian Paisley Jr., but he's not the only one within the DUP who would have sympathy with him and would be concerned, I suppose, potentially at this turning into something much wider than just looking at this issue, but really any sort of attempt to get at Ian Paisley Jr., who obviously has got enemies quite high up in the DUP. I think that when Sammy Wilson spoke out on Sunday, it has struck me as something which probably the DUP leadership would not be terribly thrilled about, because whatever they were planning to do, he was really, to a certain extent, boxing them in where it would be obvious that there was some sort of split if they didn't do what he did. And if they did do what he was suggesting, it would seem like he was the person who was taking the leading on this. So I think that really shows that what has happened is not what he wanted. That potentially indicates that it's maybe not what Ian Paisley Jr. wanted. I think, though, if you look at this in a broader sense, there may be a case for what the DUP has done here actually being in an odd way in Ian Paisley Jr.'s interest if this stops at a suspension, and it's not more substantive than that, because there was a danger here, I think, of a head of steam building, that the DUP didn't seem to be acting in any way. They seemed indecisive. The parliamentary report was very clear as to what had happened, so there was no lack of evidence or no lack of clarity around the facts. And if that had just gone on and on, I think that could have been quite dangerous for Ian Paisley Jr. and could actually have been something of a lightning rod for him. So it may be that by doing this, they take the sting out of it a little bit at this point.
But the words within the DUP statement, certainly I found interesting yesterday, they say they've suspended him, quote, pending further investigation into his conduct. So I read that as that the DUP, forget about the investigation that's already happened by the authorities, now the DUP are going to dig further into Ian Paisley. Further investigation into his conduct. Now, is that not interesting? And also the context, Sam, my goodness, Ian Paisley knows quite a lot about the skeletons in the DUP and others who may be or may deserve investigation themselves. This could get dirty.
Certainly the potential for something of a circular firing squad here, and I think that's why it's pretty unlikely that it really does go too far here. But I think that the DUP is certainly firing a significant shot across his bows, and are trying to say to the public and trying to say to the people of North Antrim that they will be wanting to keep on side if there is any sort of by-election, that they are taking this seriously. I think that phrase about looking at his, I just don't have it in front of me, but the phrase which you read out there, looking at this
pending further investigation into his conduct.
I mean, that is a curious use of language, because, as you say, Parliament has looked at this. They have produced about 120 pages of a report of annexes of all the evidence, all the correspondence going back and forth between Ian Paisley and the Sri Lankans, and between Ian Paisley and the Commissioner to try to explain himself. It's very difficult to see how the DUP would be going beyond that in terms of some sort of forensic investigation into this issue. Now, unless there's something else that they want to look at, unless there's a wider issue with Ian Paisley Jr., I'm not sure, but it's certainly something which is a bit unusual to suggest that a party would have more of a role in looking at something in depth here than Parliament.
And you know as well as I do, if there's one thing that the DUP do, it is they're very precise with language. So they would have looked at that word further, and they would have contemplated it, and they made it public. So they are sending out to the public a plain message that they are going to dig further, that's their word, into Ian Paisley's conduct. Conduct being a wider word. Not, they could have said pending investigation into this matter. They haven't said it, Sam. And they're very precise with language. Now, that then leads us to how do you expect Ian Paisley to fight back?
Well, I think that to a certain extent, his hands are a little bit tied at this point. I think that with this 6-week period, which hasn't yet commenced, but it's going to commence at some point within the next 9 or 10 days for the public petition, I'm not sure that he'll be wanting to have any great publicity around this at that point. He'll probably just be hoping that that will go away quietly. But after that, I think you would be looking at the potential for some sort of ruction here. I think that also, if you look at this in a wider context in the terms of how the DUP and Sinn Féin handle these issues, there's no real sense that this is going to cost the integrity of his seat. It's very difficult, of course, to judge these things. We don't have polling. But from anecdotal evidence, it doesn't seem like there's a massive groundswell against him, even if he's going to lose some support. And so in the past, I think the DUP would have been tempted to just really ride this out. And as with Sinn Féin earlier this year, well, with Barry McIlduff, they certainly could have ridden that one out. Sinn Féin looked at Dublin and looked at how this was playing down there. I think there's an element here of the DUP looking at London and realising that they are players there now, and they have certain responsibilities to act in a way that is seen as proper in London, not just in North Antrim or the rest of Northern Ireland.
Just one other question, Sam, before we speak to Jim Alistair this morning. If you compare what the DUP are saying about their senior politician, Ian Paisley, compare that to how the DUP have handled the Andrew Crawford matter. So it is evidence in the RHI inquiry, not disputed by Mr. Crawford, that he inappropriately handed confidential government documents to members of his family, that he inappropriately did not read information that he was paid to read as part of his job, and the RHI scandal being of such magnitude in Northern Ireland. Has anything happened to Andrew Crawford, one of Arlene Foster's right-hand men for many years, compared to how Ian Paisley has been dealt with by the party?
Well, he certainly hasn't been taken out of party membership, as has happened to Ian Paisley Jr. To the best of my knowledge, he is still, to the best of my knowledge, employed by the party.
He was given a new job.
Well, it certainly suggests that he's in good standing. He was given a job in terms of handling the aspects of the party's Brexit policy, so not an inconsiderable task, you would think, in the current situation. I think
How come the party officers didn't look at his conduct?
Well, I think the party will probably argue that that's part of an inquiry process which hasn't completed. This is an inquiry which has completed. But as you say, this is evidence which is clear. It's not disputed. He's apologised for something which he says was inappropriate, I think, was the word which he used. I think also, if you look further back at how the party handled Stephen Brimstone, if you look at lots of these cases where there have been scandals, where there have been findings against people by assembly committees or other bodies, the party has been pretty limp a lot of these times in handling these. So there either is a precedent being set here that they will not tolerate this in future and they realise it's damaging to the party, or Ian Paisley Jr. is being singled out in a way which was not the case for other people within the party.
Who decided to suspend them? These party officers, who are they?
Well, the party officers include the leader, and that I would assume that if the leader stands up at a party officer meeting and says, this is what's happening, that it would be pretty surprising if the officers didn't go along with her. You would expect her to be able to lead opinion in that way. Nigel Dodds is there. Michelle McElveen, I think, is still the party secretary. I think Simon Hamilton is there. I mean, these are senior figures within the party, but I think the leader is ultimately the person who carries the can for this. So while it says party officers, I think really what we're talking here about is that Arlene Foster, certainly Timothy Johnson, I think, is the party chief executive, is a very influential figure, but really Arlene Foster is the leader and she carries the can for this, whether people view this as...
So when she was asked last week, did she still have confidence? I'll need to get the full details of exactly what she was asked, but she was certainly asked, did she support Ian Paisley? She said it was a matter for the party officers. So she didn't give him her support, and now she's one of the people who has suspended him.
That's right. And I mean, the sense was certainly I got from what she said last week was that she was stalling for time. She was almost batting this over to the party officers. I mean, I think if you're the leader of a party and you're the leader of a party which is as centralised as the DUP, you call the shots. That's how it operated under Peter Robinson. It's how it operated under the late Ian Paisley. Yes, Arlene Foster is not quite the same as those individuals, but I think that is how the party is structured, and it'd be pretty difficult to believe that Arlene Foster was somehow not in support of this, and probably was the person who was leading this. If she wasn't leading this, and if other people were arguing for this and she was arguing against it, well, that would be pretty concerning from the DUP's point of view if the leader wasn't actually in the control of these sorts of big decisions.
Sam, thank you. Jim Allister joining us today. Do you see this as a split within the DUP, Jim? You will be aware of how many people within the party would support Ian Paisley and how many wouldn't. Or do you think this is the right thing that Arlene Foster and the other party officers have done?
Well, lots of questions there. I'm not sure that it will ultimately manifest itself in a split, because I think the expediency of the probability of facing a by-election will probably cause some choreography to resolve this fissure with Ian Paisley. I think the DUP probably had little choice but to suspend it, because having said what they said properly about Michael Duff, for example, it's faced with the very emphatic findings of the Standards Commissioner and the committee, it was impossible and thought for them to do nothing.
Who's heading up the further investigation, though?
Well, I presume there will be that will be set up by the party officers. I don't know who would be doing that, and whether it's wider than the Sri Lanka matter, I don't know. I'm not sure your interpretation of the statement necessarily means it is.
I'm not sure either, and it's one interpretation.
It is.
The only point I'm making is the DUP usually leave nothing open for interpretation.
I suspect that within the rules there has to be a due process followed or seen to be followed. So before they would discipline him, as we have thought, they have to follow that process, and it could well be just on the same issues as the House of Commons quite obviously has delivered very emphatic answers about. But it might be a process matter. But
look, we don't need to speculate around that, because what we'll do is, to be fair to the DP, we will contact them right now and say, is the further investigation, we'll ask them, is the further investigation into just this matter, is it a wider investigation, and also who's heading that investigation? So we'll do that right now.
Just on the wider issue, I think there will be a tendency within the DUP to try and get control of this situation. At the moment, they're in a pretty unsatisfactory position that they don't know if there will or won't be a by-election. I think the probability is there will be. The timing of that is not entirely within their control. There is a means by which they can bring all of this under control, and I wouldn't rule it out as a very distinct possibility. And that means is that Ian Paisley indeed dressed up as claiming that the moral high ground on the 4th of September resigns, saying no one will expel me from the House of Commons. I will put this before my people in North Antrim. And the by-election then is within the date control of the DUP. And it could be as early in those circumstances as something like the 4th of October, which would eclipse the 3 weeks that Parliament isn't sitting because of the conference season, and therefore they could have this over much sooner. The fly in the ointment of all of that is, if he's currently suspended, how do they arrange the choreography to get to the point where he is their official candidate? Because I really don't think they will want to be fighting him.
But the fly in the ointment of people like you, who you know, part of what you will be trying to do at the moment is score political points against the DUP. And indeed against Ian Paisley. Here's part of the problem people like you will have, Jim. You know that he is popular in his constituency.
And there is a huge majority, yes. But
and therefore, if he stands at a by-election and he wins, that's an endorsement. You talk about the people, that's an endorsement from the people that they still trust him and want him to be their MP, if that happens.
If that happens, I can't disagree with any of that. He has a huge majority. I think his antics in this will have damaged him. How far would remain to be seen. But it would be a brave man who would say that a man with a majority of 20,000 and 28,000 votes just over a year ago is going to be readily and easily unseated. Of course he's not. But
so what does that say about Ian Paisley?
Well, I think it says that in the last election, I think it was a bounce off the surprise of how well Sinn Féin had done in the Assembly election. I think there was a rallying to their standard, and Ian Paisley, as other MPs, substantially benefited from that, and that inflated the vote. But in a by-election, I think there will be the opportunity for people to cast their verdict on this matter and why we got here. And in that, it's hard to see him not suffering some damage. How much damage? Hard to say.
And how popular do you think he is, Jim, within the DUP, within the senior echelons of the DUP?
I think within the senior echelons, not very popular at all, from things that I hear and see. I think that if it could be done, there'd be many in the DUP who would be happy to ditch him. But I suspect because he would have the support largely of his own association, and because of his perceived popularity, perceived or real, in the constituency, I think they will find it hard to move against him, and therefore they will swallow hard and I suspect support him.
Let me speak to Mark and Newton Arts this morning. Don't forget what we're doing today. We're asking you, the public, what you make about this, how much support you still have or don't have for Ian Paisley. 0330 80 55 55. Mark and Newton Arts. Morning, Mark. Hello, Mark. So obviously Mark isn't there. David McNary with us, the former MLA. David McNary, good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What's your view on this?
Well, let's put it in a lot of boxes. Ian Paisley's very well liked, certainly inside his constituency and outside. I like him. I've always got on well with him. He was more than foolish to get involved in free holidays. He should know there's no such thing as a free lunch, let alone a free holiday. And where we are now, he has to do his time. He's going to do it. There are a number of things floating about. Will this happen? Will that happen? The DUP, in my estimation, are right to suspend him. Quite clearly, they don't want this issue constantly in the line of questioning every time Arlene Foster or somebody comes to the microphone. And they've got rid of that problem until an election, or Ian finishes time and goes back. That's all where we are with this. The bigger issue that you're getting involved in is, I personally believe, and I'll say it, it would be a massive error for the DUP to use this to end the Paisley connection with the party.
Why?
Well, I think it's so hard to separate the Paisley name and the DUP, and to separate it over an issue like this, where there is a sourness in people's mouths, Ian has done wrong. Is the wrong reason to do it? And as
why
far
is it
as
not
I know,
precisely the right been, time? Why is it not precisely the right reason to do it?
Pardon?
Why is it not precisely the right reason to do it?
Well, if they want to use this issue to sever the connection between the Paisley name and the DUP, then the DUP overall are in serious problem, because there are still people very, very loyal and admiring of what Ian Paisley did to actually make the DUP what it is. And of course, parties move on, but Ian is part of that generation of moving on, and he should be allowed to move with them. And the key thing to this, Stephen, is that, and correct me unless I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Ian enjoys the confidence of his local constituency association. Now, they are the people who will put him up for election.
But does he enjoy? But does he enjoy the confidence of his leader?
I don't know that, I couldn't answer it.
Have you heard any public?
At a very early stage and give him a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, but look, have you heard anything coming from Arlene Foster to say, obviously it was a holding statement that the party officers will look at this matter, but have you heard anything from Arlene Foster that talks about the good work that Ian Paisley has done, as well as this current situation? Have you heard anything even hinting?
People only talk about the good things that you've done when you're away, and he's not away yet. I can see the position Arlene Foster is in that she needs to get this issue over. I think as Jim Allister was saying, they haven't worked out yet the full outcome of where this is going to end. Is it are they going to fall short of Sinn Féin trying to get a petition signed? So there'd be a by-election, or is Ian going to do his time and be able to go back to take up his seat, or is he going to and say, I need a vote of confidence now, so I'm going to call a by-election?
Yeah. And let me just, because Jim Allister, you're still with us, right? You're still there, Jim?
Yes, I am.
So we do have a little bit of a development this morning. So when we were wondering today, the language from the DUP in their statement yesterday, in other words, that Ian's been suspended by the DUP, quote, pending further investigation into his conduct. Now, we have gone to the DUP this morning and said, is that investigation into conduct, is conduct wider than just this specific holiday incident? And the DUP are saying they won't tell us. Now, that in itself surely they had an opportunity this morning, if they did want to nail that, no, this is not just, or this is just about this holiday matter. The DUP now deliberately saying that they're leaving this, that they're not telling us, in other words, that this is open to interpretation, Jim.
Now, well, that is interesting, yes. And of course, if I recall correctly, the Standards Commissioner still has another open case in respect of Ian Paisley. Isn't she investigating the allegations pertaining to the dinners that were held under Ian Paisley's aegis, where businesses were involved in the funding of them? I think that is currently, stand to be corrected, I think that's currently before the Standards Commissioner. So there are other issues out there. So the DUP may well be taking a wider look at their Member of Parliament and the fact that they have declined the opportunity to indicate that this is solely to do with Sri Lanka is indeed interesting.
David?
No, I'm not 100% sure that that's right. I mean, I would expect the DUP in the circumstances that they're in to give that answer. They could have actually maybe put it better, but that's how the DUP will react. If they were to say no to you, Stephen, you'd be all over them as much as you would be if they said yes. You'd be all over them and saying, well, you know, what? Explain now what you mean by, you know, conduct. What kind of conduct? Is there something else? Blah, blah, blah. I think if that's what they want, a holding statement. They're not going to move on this until they see how clear the road is for them and what's going to happen. And that will probably be, we'll all probably know at the end of August as to where they're going. That seems to me as to where they are. Are they in difficulties? They're in big difficulties. Will they get out of it? They're a Hiduni party. I don't know how they do it sometimes, but they'll get out of it all right.
Well, Jim Alistair, David McNary,